Receiving this medal is an honor I never expected. When I graduated from Pratt Institute 30 years ago, my intention was to be a painter of wildlife. The first book I illustrated was assigned to me because the first illustrator chosen was too busy. I love books, and making pictures is my life, but book illustration was an interruption to my chosen course. However, it was relatively pleasant. I was still drawing animals, and it helped pay the mortgage. Food and clothing were supplied by a great many other commercial assignments. That first book was Rascal, and it was followed by a number of books by Miska Miles, Julie of the Wolves, Gentle Ben, and the perennially reappearing Dune. I gradually learned, however, that my most satisfactory work was based on intuitive discovery, usually while painting, and usually at the last minute. This approach is not accepted gracefully by most publishers. It requires sketches, done on schedule, and finished work which relates directly to the sketches, also done on schedule. I was discovering that my best ideas usually happened in hindsight and on their own schedule. Some 40 interruptions later, I found the compromises of illustration too limiting and devoted myself fully to creating my own images, painted in my own manner, and done on my own schedule. My idyllic reclusiveness lasted almost 7 years and produced more satisfaction and reward than any other period. Then Pat Gouch, an old friend and a fine author, became an editor. She knew of my crankiness, irascibility, and general bad temper when interrupted, and rather tentatively asked me to read a new manuscript, something by Jane Yolen about a father and child going owling. I agreed. For return postage, Pat would be mollified, and with luck, I would be left alone for another 7 years. By my second reading of the spare text, I was hooked. Ironically, my own inclination was toward the exotic. Since I was 12, I had spent as much time as possible away from New York City. I had spent years backpacking, spelunking, rock climbing, and living wild, from New York to Wyoming. I had studied animals in the field from Alaska to Iran and from the Everglades to the Rockies. All this book required was for me to walk out of my studio into my own woods. There was no excuse to go somewhere more interesting. The trees, fields, buildings, walls, and snow are all within a few minutes' walk of where I had lived in western New Jersey for over 20 years. A father and his 6-year-old daughter came over and graciously spent a Sunday afternoon walking through the woods with me. I didn't even have to pick them up. They came by themselves. I've done many illustrations in odd techniques, often using rare and hard-to-find materials. This book called for ordinary pen and watercolor on paper. A phone call brought a choir of darshas to my door. I had the rest of the materials in my studio. Owls were often around our woods, and I had 20 years' worth of drawings and photographs. The story was quiet, and the winter woods were barren. That may have created a problem, but my wife reminded me of all the small animals that show up in odd corners in the woods. I knew them well already, and the deer literally come to my studio windows to keep the ivy and shrubs under control. I was capable of going to any number of fascinating places in the world, but in taking on Owl Moon, I could not come up with any valid reason for doing so. Jane's story had a different appeal. I remember the thrill of sharing these special experiences in the woods with my own children, Jennifer and Jan. Jane's heroine was hardy and eager for experience. The situation was eminently believable and completely lacked saccharine sentimentality. Jane had expressed my own attitudes toward the wild. I know the feelings of meeting a wild animal on its own ground. I've been face to face with field mice and Kodiak bears, bull moose and wild geese, wild boar and mountain goats, and of course owls. Large or small, I feel awe and wonder and respect. They're all presences and personalities, alien and largely unfathomable, but worth acceptance and contemplation for what they are. This is what I found worth trying to express in my work. I was glad to discover I was not alone. Even though I am alone in receiving this award, I would not be here without the inspiration and labor of many dedicated people. My deepest thanks go first to Jane Yolen. Without her sensitivity and skill and artistry, there would have been no book. We had never met until long after the book was published, although we had already shared experiences in spirit. Then, Patricia Lee Gouch, who had the perspicacity to buy Owl Moon and the courage to ask me to illustrate it. Next, Nanette Stevenson, art director and designer at Philomelon Putnam. She caught my more outrageous gaffes, let my minor lapses stand, and still designed a beautiful book, even though I took twice as long as expected to finish it. My wife, Judy, has been my best friend for 28 years. She has put up with windstorms, snowstorms, caves, deserts, swamps, mountains, and outdoor plumbing. She has stood fast when threatened by moose, bison, wild boar, and bugs. She has put up with my long working hours, my need for solitude, and my lack of interest in normal social activities. We're still best friends. I'm thankful to my children for providing an audience for so many books and for being such forthright critics, even though they were usually right. I'm also thankful they have finally grown up. My granddaughter Nissa gets my thanks for simply being the joy that she is and inspiring me to do just one more book. And finally, the Caldecott Committee has my deepest gratitude for this great honor, even though it has made me much more aware of every shortcoming in my pictures. On the night after being notified of the award, I was leaving my studio under a full moon. Two owls were calling to each other from the trees. I listened for some time and silently thanked them for being, and for being there.